First off, would you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, yes, I'm an Oklahoma native. We were living in Iowa when the Bright family of Paducah decided they could use my services, and they brought me to Paducah. And my wife and I had four girls, and I've painted all my life. I've never really done anything else. I have never had grant money. I'm unique in that direction, and I've always been an independent artist, and either we succeed or we didn't. And but we managed to get raise the girls and get a couple of them through college, and so it's been a challenge, but it's worthwhile. So good.
You drew and painted when you were a kid?
I had a drawing accepted for a New York showing when I was 7 years old.
Oh, my word.
I guess that's what did it to me. Being an artist is not an easy route, but I knew that I wanted to do it bad enough. My family said, sure, go for it.
How would you describe your body of work to date?
When I was young, I decided I wanted to be a surrealist, as most young people do. Then in college, I decided I wanted to be a cubist. After that, I kind of decided that if I was going to make a living, you know, I couldn't, and be a Midwesterner, I really couldn't be too precise about what I wanted to, or the way I wanted to paint. So I paint in a variety of styles. In this show that's coming up, I have many, many styles. I paint or work in the studio about 6 hours a day. So I like to change up because I don't want to get bored. I don't want to get stale with my work. So we'll have 137 paintings in the show at the Iser, and you'll be able to see a cross-section of my work, some retrospective and some current.
So I read an article about you written in 98, and you told the interviewer that you wake up every day interested in the next thing you're going to do.
Well, I don't recall the article, but that's really nice. That certainly is right. That's the thing that gets me going every morning, is thinking, now, what can we create today? I love to create. Many times things don't work out quite the way you planned, but I still go ahead and try to see them all the way through, and then I can decide whether they're going to make it to the collection or whether they'll be discarded.
Describe your studio.
My studio and my home are the same thing. Because I live alone, virtually the entire house is gallery and studio. My actual painting studio is 24-foot square with 12-foot ceilings, and so I have lots of air and lots of space in there. We usually have about four or five easels set up at the same time. I work with small groups of students, usually two or three days a week, and then the rest of the time I do my painting.
What kind of paint do you prefer?
I prefer acrylics. I was trained, first of all, in the classic styles and oils. After I got to Paducah in 63, I met a young man who was quite big in the arts at that time, name of Bob Evans, not the restaurateur, but the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was an influence on me more than he thought, because he said one time, why don't you try acrylics? I think you might like them. And I said, oh, I don't know. And so I, at his suggestion, went out and bought, I think it was $11 worth of acrylics at that time. And thought, well, I'll never enjoy this. It just doesn't work right. But after I'd used it for two or three days, I loved it. And I like instant gratification. It's either going to be good or bad. Let's get it over with. that's not well put. But anyhow, I do think the speed of acrylics is advantageous for me.
When you are in studio with students,
mm-hmm,
and talking about being an artist, how do you guide people to actually draw well?
Well, I do encourage life drawing. Ideally, we will give 30 minutes a day to life drawing. And that's really the way you learn. But in the studio, as I say, the people who work with me are generally retired and or not interested in making a profession of painting. First of all, I want them to enjoy what they're doing. And if it's good, it's good. If it isn't, that's all right, too. We don't have a benchmark that you have to achieve a certain way. I do let them go pretty much on their own and try to stay out of their work as much as possible, just be around to advise.
At one time, you apparently had a studio in Taos, New Mexico.
Yes, ma'am, I still do. Unfortunately, it's... the older I get, the further it is from Paducah to Taos, New Mexico. So I don't make the trip very often. I have a studio in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains.
Oh, my gosh. It's
just below the Colorado border. And it's magnificent country for an artist. And also it's the home for many of the great artists of the West.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Fe and Taos are the two art centers in the Southwest, as far as I'm concerned.
So in your show at the Yeiser, will we see landscapes from out west?
Yes. Josh and I went over my inventory, I guess, of paintings, and he was most impressed with my landscapes and my paintings of people. I am not a portrait artist. I make no pretense in being a portrait artist, but I do paint people. The difference is that if I'm a portrait artist, I have to satisfy a client. This way I can paint somebody, and if they don't like it.
Well, you're an independent cuss, aren't you?
I am. I admit it. But, yeah, we'll have landscapes and we'll have paintings of people. So that's the reason we're calling it This Land and Its People.
You have work in many private collections.
Oh, yes, I do. And many USA collections and then a lot of European collections. But, you know, I have had solo shows at the Parthenon in Nashville, 4 one-man shows there. I've had solo shows in many of the Midwestern states and have had the opportunity to study with many of the leading artists as I came up through the ranks.
So I imagine you paint outdoors a good bit as well.
I am not a plein air painter, and I'll tell you, with acrylics, it's a little bit more difficult. Plein air painters are generally oil painters, but it can be done. I have a really strange way of doing landscape. I go out and study the landscape. I listen to it. I want all the nuances of the landscape to take back to the studio with me, and then I come back and paint it.
So you go for long walks?
Oh, yes. I love hiking down LVL because it's pretty much unspoiled for around here. Yeah, I like to walk. I don't do it as well as I used to, but I do like to walk. It's more interesting to me to paint the mood or the feeling of the landscape rather than the exactness of it. So I don't take photos. I don't even take my sketchbook with me because I find that it doesn't help me as much as listening to it, seeing it, and smelling it, and being a part of the landscape. I can paint it better.
Forgive my ignorance, but how many shows have you had at the Yeiser?
This is my first one. As you probably know, the Yeiser brings art to the community, and it's rare when a local artist gets to hang there. So I'm very flattered when I was asked if I'd like to consider it. The PAPA group, the Paducah Area Painters Alliance, my wife and I started that in 1991, and it's been kind of the project for Paducah for quite some time now. And they have a beautiful gallery downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Show there on a continuing basis, but I'm just one of the members, and we all show there together.
Well, there's quite an interesting bunch of artists in sort of different groups with the Wastelanders and Papa and...
Right. We are a diverse group.
Lower Town and...
Uh-huh. It's wonderful that after so many years of promoting the arts in Paducah, you know, it's really, really come to fruition. And we have a great collection of artists in the community now.
And the UN designation, too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We try to cooperate as much as possible with all the other arts that are going on in the community so that we are not just a group that stays by themselves. We try to be involved in most of the visual arts.
Mr. Lauder, what do you like to listen to music?
I love listening to Beethoven while I paint because he's so earthy, or natural, I guess.
What other sources of inspiration catch you?
really, everything I look at, I think, now there's a painting right there. You know, it's a blessing and it's a curse, because you can't look at a tree. You have to analyze it by shape and contour and the light and shadows, the shading of it. You have to mix colors in your mind to come up with the color that you think that tree is. So it allows you to be so appreciative of nature, but at the same time, it's, as I say, it can really get the bug in you.
Well, it's been so nice to meet you, and congratulations on the Yeiser Show and for surviving.
It's been my pleasure.